common. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's the reaction from White House Corona Task Force Dr. Anthony Fauci to the snag for one of the coronavirus vaccines. British drug maker AstraZeneca halted a clinical trial when a patient got sick from a side effect.
AstraZeneca is stressing that illnesses do happen by chance during trials, and this could be unconnected. It says it's working to review safety data as quickly as possible.
Fox's Simon Owen. Fauci still expects a vaccine to be ready by next year, or maybe sooner. The U.S. is pulling more troops out of Iraq. The top American commander in the Middle East says the reduction of the force this month from 5,200 to about 3,000. And drawdowns like that are among the reasons a Norwegian lawmaker has nominated President Trump for the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize. Christian Tybring Jetty told today's Fox News Rundown podcast he knows some people don't like the president.
So that doesn't matter. It's actually what you achieve in international diplomatics. And Donald Trump has proven that he is worthy the Nobel Peace Prize.
He also nominated the president in 2018. Now, President Trump's often claimed expanded mail-in voting will lead to widespread fraud. His critics say such fraud is rare. He told a rally in North Carolina,
make sure you send the ballot in and then go to your polling place and make sure it counts.
Well, New Jersey's trying to help voters track those ballots online. Fox's Tanya J. Powers has more live.
Dave, Governor Phil Murphy says voters will need their driver's license number or their social security number, and they can access their voting information. NJ.com reports that some 13,000 people have already used this new website they're going to unveil in the last week. After a mail-in ballot is cast, registered voters can set up an account that tracks when county clerks get it. New Jersey is sending ballots to its 6.2 million registered voters as a move to expand mail-in voting due to the risks of spreading the coronavirus, Dave.
Tanya, Joe Biden will campaign today in Michigan, pushing a Buy America, Make It in America plan to try to incentivize U.S. manufacturing. America's listening to Fox News.
Criminalia is an exciting new podcast that explores the intersection of history and true crime. Criminal activities linger in the margins of history, and lady poisoners offer up some of the most compelling tales. So were they perpetrators or sympathetic characters? We're going to find out.
The nickname Black Widow would eventually be bestowed upon Tilly, but not just yet.
Listen to Criminalia wherever you get your podcasts.
Time's running out to win $1,000 a day for life from Publishers Clearinghouse. Enter at PCH.com and you and your family could soon be celebrating the win of a lifetime. Don't miss your chance to win $1,000 a day for life on October 31st. Go to PCH.com before it's too late. That's PCH.com. Better hurry if you want the next big winner to be you. Enter now at PCH.com. Entries due 10/28. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
The Russ Clark Show is brought to you by Quick Refrigeration, now offering excellence in professional plumbing services as well as heating and air conditioning. Visit them at getcoolquick.com and listen to Russ Clark Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Another day of the fire weather warning, which is a combination of dry conditions and high winds. Southwest winds at 15 today, 93 and sunny, 69 overnight tonight. 98 sunny tomorrow, west wind at 10, 71 tomorrow night. Sunny and 103 Friday, 73 Friday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Good morning, Yuma. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 AM KBLU. In studio, we have the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, Kimberly Kale, is with us this morning. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning.
There we go. And on the line, we have some really wonderful Chamber friends in the Phoenix area. Garrick Taylor, Vice President of Government Relations and Communications for the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Good morning, Garrick.
Thanks for having me on. Good morning.
There he is. Coffee's kicking in. Glenn Hammer, President and CEO of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John.
Here we go. I have an intro I really want to read because I think it's important that the listeners understand who Glenn is. Glenn's the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry, an organization that over his decade plus of leadership has become the state's most powerful advocate for job creators. The Chamber has played a leading role on behalf of the business community on a host of policy issues that have enhanced the state's competitive standing, ranging from taxation to education to health care, civil justice reform, business regulation, and much, much more. Glenn chairs the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's Committee of 100, which is the committee comprised of the nation's leading chamber executives. You can read commentary from Glenn and get daily news from the business community Monday through Friday at chamberbusinessnews.com. You can follow Glenn on Twitter at Glenn Hammer.
Yeah, that was a nice intro, but I'm getting a cavity over here.
Well, okay. All scripted stuff aside, Russ, thank you for that. But, Glenn, when I first took this job back in 2014, I reached out for some counsel and some coaching, and you stepped up. And you have continued to step up. Every time I call with a question, a concern, you're there. You've never said no. I think in the chamber world, it's hard for us to say no anyway. But I've appreciated the friendship, the counsel, and the partnership, my friend.
Very, very kind words. And John, you've been a force for good, a force for job creators, not just in Yuma and Yuma County, but all over the state. And I really appreciate that you're continuing to get the word out on policies that really impact businesses.
We have the new executive director of the Chamber of Commerce in studio with us this morning. Glenn, I retired on August 28th, and I'm just hanging out this month to help with the handoff. Kimberly Kale is in the studio. Kim, say hello to my friend Glenn, please.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Doing very well. Good morning, and you've got some very big shoes to fill, but I know you will do it very, very well.
I hope so.
Well, in one day, she galvanized the team in the office. They were ready to throw me out the door about 4:30 or so. So, Glenn, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Well, Yuma is in wonderful hands with Kimberly at the helm. But again, thank you, Garrick Taylor, Glenn Hammer, thank you. You guys are very, very, very busy right about now. But we had a conversation concerning Proposition 208, and that's kind of why we're here this morning. And, Glenn, if you could, tell us what would happen if Proposition 208 passes in November.
If it were to pass, it would be a direct hit on Arizona's small businesses. And John, this is not an overstatement. The way this proposition is designed, it would create a brand new tax bracket And for all income over $250,000 for singles, half a million for those who are married, it would impose a new 77.7% tax increase on that income. Now, this isn't just something that would hit high-salaried workers. This would hit small businesses because, John, as you know, so many businesses in Arizona are organized through the individual income tax part of the code. And, in fact, what we found out through the good work of the Arizona Tax Research Association, and this is staggering, is that about over 50% of Arizonans who work in the private sector would be working for a company that could be impacted by what would be the largest tax increase in Arizona's history.
So that is the talking points, and I get that. So those who are pushing for this, invest in Ed, we all want to, quote-unquote, invest in Ed. I mean, nothing could be more important. But they're not talking about the size and scope and really the direction of this tax increase and who it hits the most. Why do you think that is?
Because it would be very unpopular if they did. And it would take, seriously, John, I mean, when you take a look at how this thing is designed, there's no tax system in the United States of America that would have this sort of bizarre situation where it would really target the entrepreneurial homegrown businesses of a state. It doesn't affect the corporate tax code. So a $2 trillion plus company like Apple, you know how much more they would pay from this?
Zero.
John?
Zero.
Zero. But a Yuma-based business, a family-based business that was built over generations, they would get walloped. And we would go from a state with a top 10 competitive income tax system to one of the 9 worst in the nation. We would be higher than all of our neighbors in our region, except for California.
Of course.
So, also think about this. We're still in a pandemic for those who are on planet Earth at this point. We have so many companies that are struggling right now, struggling to keep people on the payroll, struggling to bring people back. And a lot of our companies in Yuma and across the state have been beneficiaries of the Paycheck Protection Program, which has pumped, about $8.5 billion into our economy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of those funds have been exhausted. So as those funds are exhausted, what will a lot of these companies that have been doing everything possible to keep workers on the payroll and their products and services going? They'd be faced with an enormous new tax. It's unwise, it's unfair, and ultimately, by the way, it would lead to less, in my opinion, over a period of 5 or 10 years, it would lead to less revenue. Why? We are a free country. People have choices in terms of where they locate their businesses. People have choices as to where they expand their businesses. And to single-handedly destroy Arizona's reputation as a pro-business state, which, by the way, was built up over not just Republican governors, but Democratic governors, would be very, very unwise.
I've talked to many school and education leaders. I can't find one that's for this. Sure, no one is on the education level for it.
Well, and John, I want to thank you over the years because you've been a great champion for more funding for education. I mean, we all supported in the chamber community Governor Ducey's proposal to increase teacher pay by 20% over 3 years.
Yep.
Very, very well deserved and very needed. And by the way, no state in the country has raised teacher pay by 20% over 3 years, not a single one. We have all fought for additional funds in other areas for our education system, including our community college and our university system. This, by the way, doesn't do anything in those areas.
You're right. So, I'm going to head into a hard break. Glenn, yeah. I want to pick up that conversation after a few commercials, if that's okay. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU. If you ever get annoyed, you'll see me at 7:00.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
You work hard, you get paid. And as a good citizen, you pay your fair share of taxes for things like schools, roads, and hospitals. But not for things like millionaire Mark Kelly's business schemes. Politically connected, Mark Kelly's company scored up to $2 million in COVID relief. Politician Mark Kelly's hypocrisy? He blasted the very same COVID relief program in a cheap political stunt. Mark Kelly played politics while Arizona families were suffering. Worse, Kelly's politically wired company also got $15 million in Arizona tax dollars to build a lavish headquarters. They made lofty predictions. They promised us jobs, but delivered layoffs. Kelly's company got millions, and Arizonans got broken promises and pink slips. That's millionaire Mark Kelly. He gets paid, and you pay the bill. Defend Arizona, pay for, and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.defendarizona.org.
Fox News at the top of the hour. Brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com. News Talk 560 KBOU, where you're always right.
We are back on Chamber Chatter. 560 AM KBLU. In studio, Kimberly Kale, the new executive director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, John.
Russ Clark actually has a microphone, too. Russ, you're behaving this morning. Thank you. And on the line, our friends from the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Glenn Hammer, president and CEO. Good morning, sir.
Hi, John.
And Garrick Taylor, vice president of government relations and communications. Hello, Garrick.
Hi, everybody.
There you go. So, Glenn, we were kind of on a roll as far as funding initiatives that have passed 20 by 2020 and things like that. And we have some momentum. I think this stops that. I think once this passes, okay, you've had your bite at the apple, we're done, don't come back for any more. So I think this actually has a reverse effect on what they think it could do. Would you agree?
I would agree. So here you have a billion-dollar tax increase, largest tax increase, no accountability, and absolutely no attention paid to community colleges and higher ed and other things that we need to have a more efficient system. So this is just basically there's no reform in this. There's no concern about the effectiveness of how these dollars are spent. And John, you know, we talked about the 2020, but we also all supported the 20-year extension of Proposition 301, which is a 0.6 cent sales tax. And that's the way we should be devising education policy. That's where political leaders of both parties, chambers, education leaders all came together in around 1980 to pass this. And you fast forward to a couple years ago, it was passed basically unanimously by the legislature with Republicans and Democrats, signed by Governor Ducey, to extend that by 20 years. That's the right type of process, and that's the type of process we should be working towards when we're discussing education policy in Arizona.
Exactly. I'm going to put Garrick on the spot, Glenn, if that's okay. So,
sure.
Garrick, help me phrase or couch the communication that says this is not a Republican-led opposing Democrats, that this is not a left, right, red, blue. How do we frame the opposition to 208 to where it's really, really, really bipartisan? How do we get that communication over the finish line?
Well, John, Arizonans of all political stripes want education. We want to ensure that our teachers are paid well. And we want to ensure, though, that we've got the resources across the education continuum from early childhood to K colleges and universities. But also, Arizonans of all political stripes also want to ensure that we have a thriving small business sector. And this proposition, were it to pass, would be a direct hit on that small business sector, and it would not deliver for schools. You know, Proposition 208 is relying on revenue coming from the most volatile section of the tax code. Earners in this targeted tax bracket, John, you saw it happen during the depths of the recession.
Mm-hmm.
Small businesses were really struggling. The small businesses at $5 in this quarter. We're seeing it today in the pandemic. If for those who want to fund education and do so even more robustly, this is not the way to do it. We would argue the way to do it is to ensure a healthier economy, to make sure that we've got the resources to invest that we need to.
Glenn, is there anything in 208, because I couldn't find it, that really directly enhances classroom funding? The money goes to a variety of places, but there's no accountability that says the outcomes will improve. I mean, walk me through the weeds, because I couldn't find it. Please.
There's absolutely no accountability. And maybe to find it, you might have to contact the outfit that's funding this, but you would need to call a Portland, Oregon number to do that. I think it's important to point out, and that's why we have this proposal that just doesn't seem to add up in any way. Either the $4.6 million that's been reported thus far, over $4 million has come from a Portland, Oregon group. So think about that. You know, this is not some sort of homegrown education reform initiative. This is something that has been jettisoned into our state. And you're right, John, there is zero accountability in this. I mean, so think about that. They're advertising a $1 billion tax increase, largest tax increase in our state's history, directly impacting great small businesses in our state, all over our state, and no accountability. It's really quite a concoction.
So how did it make the ballot? Because I read all the articles, I read everything as far as the language in the petitions, the way the signatures were derived, the whole shoot and match. How did it make it to the ballot? That's another head scratcher, but please walk me through that.
Well, sure. Well, in today's day and age, you could pay a lot of money. So an outside group from Portland, Oregon, spent over $4 million to collect signatures for this ballot initiative. Now, I'd argue it's a great question whether this should even be on the ballot, but I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. That's how it got on. An enormous amount of money, probably about as much money ever spent in our state's history to get something on the ballot, was spent. And there were all sorts of games, to get this on the ballot. We have been a chamber that has fought for initiative reform and integrity for many years. And I'll just say, the process itself left a lot to be desired. But, you know, it's on the ballot, and, you know, we're going to do everything possible to communicate the fact that this would destroy Arizona's reputation as a great state for business, and it would do absolutely nothing to reform and improve our education system and completely shut down our higher education system.
How does this work, if this passes, how does this work with Arizona's competitive nature with surrounding states? I mean, what does that do to us to attract business, retain business? What's the outcome there?
John, and I'd like Garrett to chime in here, but it destroys it. You know, again, we go from a state that has a reputation of being business-friendly, a reputation that's well-earned. We've got a great pro-business governor. We've made incredible strides on tax, regulatory, and licensing reform, sort of the big three, So we go from one of the most competitive states in the country on our income tax to the ninth worst. We'd be way ahead of Colorado. Texas has zero income tax. Nevada has zero income tax. Washington State has a zero income tax. So, you know, we would be regionally uncompetitive, and what would happen is we would go from one of the fastest growing states in terms of population and jobs to one that's a lot slower. And I just want to tell a quick story, because I'm a guy who comes from another state, New York. And if you told me when I was, New York, I I'm going to tell it exactly the way I usually tell it. I'm a guy, I have a bad sense of direction. Most New Yorkers wind up in Florida. They flee New York, high taxes, cold weather, they go to Florida. I have a terrible sense of direction, so I'm lucky I wound up in Arizona. But if you told me at this point in my life that Florida would have more people in New York, I would say you're drinking too much concentrated orange juice. But Florida does. And why is that? It's not just the better weather. It's because of a far superior business climate. So once you start talking and going up and ratcheting up income taxes, you're going to hit your state's economy and your state's growth pretty darn hard. Garrick, you've spoken eloquently about this over the years as well.
Well, John, think about just the four corner states. All of us, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, we are all under 5% when we look at our top individual income tax rate. But Arizona has the best rate. We're at 4.5%. Now, as Glenn said, Nevada doesn't have an income tax, and we'll put California in its own special category. They're north of 13%. But if we adopt this Prop 208, we rocket all the way up to having a top 10 income tax rate nationally. And I say top 10, and I don't mean it in a positive. We'd be on the highest list. So we'd be much higher than our neighboring states. And I'm not looking to compete with California for top income tax rates. But I'm at the chamber, and I'm sure that Kim is going to experience too. You're going to be part of a number of economic development efforts, and you're going to be talking to site selectors. These numbers matter. When they look at that top rate, that's a real indicator of how business-friendly, how welcoming, and how competitive economically a state is. And unfortunately, this 8%, this new 8% top rate, is going to jump off the page.
That's one of the things that bothers me the most. When I've, the state's budget, 53% of all of the expenses for Arizona goes to education, yet somehow we're almost last in classroom funding, yet our high schoolers are graduating in the 25th percentile. So, but 25th in the country, we're about mid-level for efficiency and proficiency for our graduates, yet we're almost lowest in classroom spending. So that's a tribute to our teachers and what they do. I would like to advocate, and I'll make this, you know, on the air live with you guys. There has to be a way to reform the funding process, reform the funding procedure, reform how the reporting happens at K through 12. One of my staffers went to Yuma High. When she went there were three people in the office. Right now there's 12. Pushing paper. And when you look at what the legislature forces schools to do to get the money, it's almost sinister. That's why we don't have the money in the classrooms. I think we need to really reform how the funding process happens. I know two of our local superintendents that turned down money because the cost of processing the paper, the cost of procuring the information to get the money, was more than the cash itself. So I think some of us in the business world, and maybe a retired guy, can help look at how can we streamline this system to make it better for our schools to operate and eliminate some of that waste. I'd like to talk about that after the break, if that's okay, you guys. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU.
Don't you hate it when the price advertised isn't the price you end up paying? Like with T-Mobile's Essential Plan, the price they advertise isn't what you pay. Read the fine print. Taxes and fees are added to the price, and you have to get multiple lines. With Spectrum Mobile, the price you see is the price you pay. No added taxes, fees, minimum lines, or contracts on any plan. Spectrum Mobile, a better way to mobile. Go to SpectrumMobile.com and start saving today.
Is your air conditioning system ready for the summer heat? This is Russ Clark for my friends at Quick Refrigeration. They have been cooling and heating Yuma since 1955, and they can replace your old and inefficient AC system. Now is the best time to replace your AC system. Special financing is available for up to 60 months. New AC systems are 30 to 40% more energy efficient than those installed just 10 years ago. Bottom line, Quick Refrigeration can keep you cool and save you money. Special financing and reduced energy bills are yours. All you have to do is place a call and request a visit from one of their professional technicians. Start the saving today. Call Quick Refrigeration at 782-3691 or visit getcoolquick.com. Don't wait until your AC system goes down. Call the best in town, Quick Refrigeration.
There's a lot going on in the world right now, and getting your tax refund is as important as ever. The locally owned and operated H&R Block offices in the Yuma community are here to help you safely get your taxes done. Just drop off your documents at H&R Block, and a tax pro will do the rest. We'll get through these challenging and uncertain times together, Yuma. So if you need a hand with your taxes, H&R Block is here for you. Drop off your taxes today at their offices in Yuma, the Foothills, or San Luis, and let their experienced tax professionals help get your taxes won.
We are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU. Lots of shenanigans in the studio with my friend Russ Clark.
Well, we're not even on Facebook.
Thank goodness. And Kimberly Kahle, the new executive director.
She just resigned.
Of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. On the phone, Glenn Hammer, President and CEO of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning.
Garrick Taylor, Vice President of Government Relations and Communications. Hello, Garrick.
John.
A couple of quick chamber announcements before we get back to the conversation. Our next Good Morning Yuma is tomorrow. It'll be done virtually on the Facebook pages of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce and the Yuma Sun. We're going to be broadcasting from the Holiday Inn, and we're going to present six members of the month. We have not been able to have mixers, so we're going to be celebrating excellence tomorrow morning. We're going to be having presentations and giving members of the month plaques to Brewers, Arizona Lighting, the Greater Yuma Economic Development Corporation, our friend Julie Engel, Imaginary Friends and Print Zoom, Big Bob's Carpet and Flooring, and to Jonathan Lyons of Lyons and Lundgren Roofing and Installation. It should be a fun morning. Facebook, the Chamber's Facebook page, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. We're going to have the District 4 and District 13 candidate forum. That's at 2 p.m. October 6th. And we're going to broadcast that also on Facebook Live from the Church of the City. Invitations to all nine of the candidates for 4 and 13 have responded to the positive that they will be there. And we're looking forward to that event October 6th, 2 p.m., the candidate forum presented by the Legislative Affairs Committee of the Chamber. Lots of stuff going on. So back to the conversation, Glenn, through the commercial break and the bottom of the hour news, what are your thoughts on some way of helping our schools really streamline the system? Governor Ducey said about a year and a half or so ago, if you take our charter schools and if they were the K-12 educational system in Arizona, they would be tied for second in the nation with Massachusetts for efficiency and proficiency. So how do we get from government-run schools with all that burdensome paperwork and oversight and can't go all the way to charter schools where there's just virtually none? How can we come to the middle and say, let's do this right? How do we get that conversation started?
John, such an important conversation, and we're all for removing unnecessary regulations on our traditional public schools. But if I could also say, wow, you've got it. Tomorrow sounds pretty exciting. Julie Engel, Jonathan Lyons, I'll just tell you, we love them at the Arizona Chamber. You've got some great, great leaders there. So it was great to hear that.
They're wonderful. They're also on the Arizona-Mexico Commission. They're just contributors. I think there's 5 Jonathans and 3 Julies. There has to be, with the amount of work that those two people get done. It's pretty amazing.
Well, I'll just say that Yuma just does such a punches way above its weight in the state and in the country. And, you know, we every winter always enjoy the leafy greens wherever you are in the United States of America. But John, you know, your point is a very, very important one. And it's one of the things that I think frustrates a lot of voters is that they know that not all of the pennies in a dollar reach the classroom. And Arizona, I believe traditionally, has been one of the lower states when it comes to getting dollars directly in the classroom. So, you know, we're all for removing unnecessary regulations that would make it easier for our traditional public schools to operate. There's another point that I think is important here to consider, and I don't have the answers, but I wanted to throw this out. Being the fact that we're in a pandemic and the fact that parents have new challenges that they haven't faced in terms of providing the best possible education for their kids, as is the case for our schools, that should be something that enters the conversation as well. Because, you know, we have more of a focus on distance learning than probably any of us on this program ever thought that we would.
This is Kimberly. I 100% agree with you. I have a student in school. I have a high schooler, and I am very grateful for the choices that Arizona has offered us. My son has been attending an online school since he started high school 3 years ago, and I have to tell you, it's been fabulous for us. So I am grateful for the choices, and I think that part of the reason that my son goes to a charter school is because of the way that some of the public schools have been strapped. I'm being told by John he's writing it down. So my son goes to ASU Prep Digital. I'm going to...
Give him a shameless plug. We
love ASU Prep Digital. They've been fabulous for 3 years, but I can tell you in working with them very closely, they were overwhelmed late this summer with parents enrolling their students there because at least they knew what to expect from this online school, whereas this fall so many parents didn't know, is my school going to open? Are they not going to open? Are we going to be in person? Are we going to be online? And the poor schools were suddenly thrown into an online world, and they weren't prepared for it, not through any fault of their own, just none of us were prepared for it, really. I mean, it's all been new to all of us.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting to see the dynamics shift to this online schooling, and we've seen it firsthand. So I would, you know, I love the fact that we have those options here in Arizona, and would love to see that for everyone.
Glenn, what do you think? You look at traditional, and you hate to use the term government-run schools, but there's no other framing for it. How do we help them? Because they're looking at the landscape. There's an exodus of quote-unquote students, customers, if you will, and the funding formula is for the body count, if you will, but they're not looking at the competitive nature, not looking at the options, school choice. They're not looking at the realities. So I think we just need to start with a blank piece of paper, say, here's how the funding should happen, and let the superintendents be far more involved in what should happen to really improve what happens in Yuma versus Sierra Vista versus Flagstaff versus Kingman, because I think the dynamics of what happens in these localities need to be present in the conversation, and they're not. And that, to me, is a huge problem.
Well, certainly having the voices of the superintendents is extremely important. You know, Arizona, it's not just choice with charters; it's open enrollment. You know, and I'll just say that, you know, anytime you're able to inject more choice into the system, you're probably going to get better outcomes. And you know, our feeling is we want to make sure that we continue to get more resources into our schools, but do so in a way that gets as much of those resources into the classroom, or, you know, whether it's virtual or otherwise, and we can never lose sight of the fact that we want to see good results. We want to see our kids get a great education. We want to see our kids have a chance to go on to
community college, university, or any sort of certificate that will allow them to accomplish their dreams. And again, you know, I feel like we have made a lot of progress. The work isn't done, but here you have this initiative that is really a false promise initiative that doesn't do anything at all on accountability, doesn't do anything at all in reform, doesn't do anything at all to deal with the new world that we live in. So, I would start with parents, superintendents, teachers, community leaders, political leaders of both parties, and make sure that, you know, all of our 15 counties are represented in the discussion.
Exactly. And it has to be a statewide effort. And the small business is looking for some help, too. Workforce development looks different in Yuma than it does in Phoenix. Go ahead.
John, you're exactly right. And, you know, one of the things we've learned is how important from our members is how important and how valued the CTE, the Career Technical Education programs are. This state, there's an astonishing statistic that I love to say. 98% of students who are involved in career technical education in the state of Arizona graduate from high school. That's well above the general number. So, you know, we have to keep moving forward in that mode of education as well.
And private businesses participating, the Arizona Business Education Coalition, which I'm part of, the Career Exploration Project, we're in the junior high schools. We're in fifth and sixth graders. We're teaching construction, medical. We're teaching first responders, and they're living it, breathing it, and seeing it. In schools that may not have the right demographic makeup to have mentors and leaders, and it's working. And so we're getting down to that level, but business got involved, so we want to help. We see the problem, we want to help out, and there's some superstars down in Yuma County really making it happen with this career exploration project for junior high kids. It's amazing. And Deb Rader has been a champion for it. She's a superstar. Tom Tyree and a whole bunch of folks, Clint Harrington, have stepped up and said, we can help fix this and change the trajectory for kids that may not have a shot. And it's wonderful to watch. So there are some fixes out there, but 208 is not it. I can assure you that.
John, if you want to adopt the type of reforms that you're talking about, starting from scratch in a funding program, ensuring that kids get access to career and technical education, you're exactly right. You're not going to find any of that in Proposition 208. You know, something that's happened on the watch of Governor Ducey is the adoption of legislation that gives us greater insight into what's happening from a budgetary standpoint at individual school sites. John, you cited your concern about dollars not getting into the classroom, maybe getting stopped at the district office. Well, we now have a better understanding of how those dollars are being spent. And it's those types of reforms that we should be pursuing. But again, John, none of that is in Prop 208.
Yeah, Prop 208 is full of some niceties, but it really, the funding goes towards things that don't have direct student outcome. That's the problem. I mean, you have this massive amount of money that really goes to the wrong place. And no one's talking about that inefficiency written in Prop 208. It's a mess. I can't be any more eloquent than that.
Shouldn't be done through proposition anyway, because then it's just locked in. If something needs to be done, it's the legislature that should do it, so that it has a chance to mold and change the times as times change.
Exactly. Glenn Garrick, meet Russ Clark.
Well, Russ is right on money. Because of our voter protection laws, if this thing doesn't deliver, if we're right, and I know we are right, then there's no way to change it. So I really appreciate Russ making that point.
Well, every time I hang around Russ, my IQ goes up a couple of points. So with that, we're going to go into a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM, KBLU.
Fox News on AM 560 Radio is brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Kennedy said, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. You and I are that generation.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up Your Pickup Truck Store is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners, with nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
The Russ Clark Show is brought to you by Quick Refrigeration, now offering excellence in professional plumbing services as well as heating and air conditioning. Visit them at getcoolquick.com and listen to Russ Clark Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
We are back on Chamber Chatter. 560 AM KBLU in studio. Russ Clark.
Morning,
sir. Kimberly Kale, the new executive director of the chamber. Kimberly,
morning.
Good morning. And on the phone, Glenn Hammer, president and CEO of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Good morning, Glenn.
Hi, John.
There you go. Garrick Taylor, vice president of government relations and communications. Good morning, Garrick.
Good morning.
There we go. So I think it's pretty clear, and for me, a no on 208 is not red or blue or elephants and donkeys. I don't think it's that. It's just this is a bad idea for Arizona, and it will not have the outcomes.
Economic preservation.
It's ugly. Yeah. It's ugly. But I do want to pivot. There's one more important proposition on the ballot, this Prop 207, the marijuana initiative. And when I looked at the numbers, there's almost $5.5 million in the coffers to help push this thing to approve, and about $140,000 in the coffers to oppose it. I know educators that they do not want 207 to pass because they know that this is not the right way to fund education. There's things in 207 that scare me as well. What's going on with 207, Glenn?
John, we have historically opposed efforts to legalize recreational marijuana, and that opposition is continuing. There certainly has been a nationwide trend to legalize marijuana, both for medical purposes and recreationally. Arizona bucked that trend about 4 years ago when a different proposition was on the ballot, but by and large, the guts of it remain the same, and that's to make Arizona a place where you can legally purchase marijuana. Look, there's a lot of problems with this initiative. For example, in the smoke form, I don't believe that there's any limit in terms of how potent you can make the marijuana that is purchased through a smoke form. We're concerned about, even though there's definitely intentions to make sure kids don't have access, just by having so much more marijuana in the market, it's pretty likely you're going to see more underage people have access to marijuana. And there's incredible concerns on workplace as well as roadway safety. I mean, we've seen in other states that have passed these types of laws, like Colorado, that there has been an increase in traffic accidents and things like that. We believe, and then to get to Russ's point, once you pass something at the ballot, you really can't change it. So this would be locked in. If we were going to go down the road of marijuana legalization, it would be much better to do it via the legislature.
Go ahead, Russ.
No, as I say, a lot of legislation that passes every year isn't new legislation. A lot of times it is just to fix the legislation we passed out last year because we found an unintended consequence. But you can't do that with a proposition. You can find an unintended consequence and say, well, we can't tweak it because it's got to go back to the voter, and no one's got the kind of funds,
right,
like the $4 million, to start paying for to get enough signatures just to tweak a proposition.
And here's why the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce is against legalized recreational marijuana.
Why?
The federal government is the number one employer in Yuma County.
Yep.
Marijuana is illegal federally.
Yep.
It is a lawyer's dream. It's a quagmire. It's a mess. We really need to stay as far away from this as we can until it's legal federally. When that happens, okay, great. But to have this mixed message and to have this mess with the federal government being the number one employer in Yuma County,
this is
hugely problematic on the human resource side.
Kid that gets caught up in that and gets some citation, a little one even, of smoking underage, that goes on their record. That could stop them from a military career. That could stop them from working for Border Patrol, for customs agents, and for police departments.
Yep.
And those things, I think we look at that and say, what's legal? It's got to be fine. That's not the case. There's a lot of roadblocks you can put in the life of a young person.
There's wrinkles inside, 207, too, as far as expunging records and freeing people who are incarcerated today on marijuana charges.
Yeah.
If you're Roman Catholic and you ate meat on a Friday, then they changed the laws. I'm not sure it's retroactive. I mean, think about that. There's a guy doing eternity for beef jerky on a Friday, and it's retroactive. So you can't do that. I mean, it was illegal at that time. It is illegal, and you broke the law.
It's
black and white.
And I'm sure the courts would have to go through that.
Okay, back to the courts. Back to this thing is a mess. Please, voters, really look through and understand Prop 207 and understand Prop 208.
And the thing that Glenn mentioned about the adverse things, the negatives that go along with it throughout society, it's not a guess. Colorado has gone through it. Other states have gone through it. We know from what's happening on the ground, from observation, from talking to leaders from other states, mm-hmm. exactly what to look forward to, and it's not a pretty picture.
You know, it reminds me, I was at an ALA conference in the 16th Avenue area of Denver at a Starbucks, and I thought it was going to take me 3 hours to get a coffee there. I was extrapolating a little bit, but, I do think one of the things we all have to do is make it clear this is not a healthy lifestyle choice. We don't tell our kids, the way to achieve the American dream, get high as often as you can. This is legal or not, this is a dangerous substance that leads to a lot of bad outcomes. And I think we need to make sure people are aware of the health outcomes of abusing marijuana. This is not some sort of benign substance. And we want our youngsters, including people in our colleges, our universities, entering the workforce, to do so with a clear mind so that they can achieve what they want to achieve in life.
Russ was going to say something.
I was trying not to. It's your show. But I spent a week in Colorado with growers and, marijuana growers as well as the sheriff and everyone else discussing the negativity. And it's things you don't think about. And you think, well, this will take the place of the cartels that are in your neighborhoods illegally. It emboldens them. They love the growers. The average age of the person walking into the shop that we spent a week at was 55. But yet all the kids are smoking. They're buying it on the streets from the cartels, and they have cover now. Because now it's legal on the streets, cops can't differentiate whether that was legal or non-legal purchase that you have in your pocket.
Amazing. Yeah. And I skipped trigonometry class, but okay, you can have six plants but possess an ounce. So at one plant, it produces like 5 or 6 ounces.
How do you know these details?
That's a different show. But I'm bad at math, but I can have six plants. Each adult can have six plants, and I can have 12 in my backyard. I can only possess an ounce. The math, it's a mess. And there's nothing in Prop 207 as far as enforcement. Yeah. There's nothing in here. It's an open-ended mess.
The bureaucracy to double-check and to check on these plants and everything and the oversight is outrageously expensive.
It's not in there.
The fact that you say you're going to collect more taxes, big deal. You're going to need more than that to build the infrastructure for the weights and measures and everything on this. And do you realize that you can do six plants of marijuana or six plants of lettuce, they grow about the same time, it's about the same amount of effort. The lettuce goes for about $6 or $7 a box, and six plants of marijuana was $1,500. And I know that because I talked to the guys. I said, $1,500 for six plants? I mean, it's good on their side, except the roadblocks and everything. Like, you can't bank, you can't buy fertilizer because the fertilizer hasn't been approved federally.
Right, and all of the income, okay, has to be in cash because, again, the banks are federally insured. And this thing is an open-ended.
They work hard to get around that, but this guy had been kicked out of five banks. Mm. Once they find out what he does for a living,
right.
It's like, I'm sorry.
It's not good for Arizona. It just isn't, again, because of the federal government workforce. But for me, there are some health issues involved here.
Oh, of course.
At the bottom of a pipe, you're going to see that black, greasy crap, okay? That's what's going to go into your lungs. And there are lung cancer issues with marijuana that people don't talk about.
I think the mental issues are far greater. And the lifestyle and the things that puts you in mentally, I think, is far greater. Pretty soon, you know, somebody smokes marijuana every day. They don't need to smoke it to stay high.
Glenn, from a business competitive point of view, let's say we're able to defeat Prop 207 and send that. Let's say we defeat that. How does that position us for incoming business growth? How does that position us with people wanting to come here and do business in Arizona?
It would certainly be helpful for all the reasons that everyone in the studio has mentioned. You know, we have a medical marijuana system here. If you're an individual and you want to get marijuana, it's pretty easy to do so already. We don't need to take this new step. And I also just want to go on record saying I'd much rather people grow lettuce than marijuana.
I'm with you.
There we go. But it was touched on by somebody earlier. There's really no potency tests. There's really no way for law enforcement or for anybody to understand that they're buying pot that has more THC or less. There's just no regulation for it. So, and there's no way for a police officer to pull me over and say, give me a test, because there's no tests for it. This thing is 10 years premature because there's just no science behind it yet. And I think Arizonans need to be smart about this. And really say, no, it just is not right for Arizona families. It's not right for Arizona business. It's just not right for the Great 48, in my opinion.
John, the Health Chamber of Arizona would agree with you on that. We're maintaining our longstanding opposition to this. As Russ indicated, the proponents of this measure believe they have fixed all the errors that were in their initiative from a few years ago. Let's hope they're right, because, as you just discussed, if there is an unintended consequence, there's nothing we can do to go back and fix it.
And that's a problem. Glenn, you were going to say something, sir?
I was just going to say, just say no again.
Just say no. Just say no. So this broadcast is on podcast on the KBLU website. It'll be on podcast on the Chamber's website. It happens around 10:30, 11 o'clock today. So, again, if you want to rehear this, again, Garrick and Glenn, this has been the fastest hour ever. You guys have been amazing. Any final last words? We've got about 20 seconds.
John, I just want to wish you all the best in your retirement. You're more of a UM institution than the territorial prison, and we're going to miss you.
On that note, we're going to sign off. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great Wednesday. Bye for now.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
from the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio. This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.